You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
This is episode number 109. Welcome to the Live and Lead for Impact podcast. I'm Kirsten Ross, your host, and you are in for a treat today. I have the privilege of speaking with Jeremy Roadruck today. He has a website called theparentingprogram.com, and I'm really fascinated to hear a bit more about his story and what he's up to. He is definitely a person passionate about living and leading for impact. So let me tell you just a little bit about him, and I am going to need some more details here. So his bio says that he stopped smoking when he was 9, and I want to learn a little bit more about that. He was also kicked out of the gifted reading and math programs for challenging the rules. His parents gave him unconditional love, but they missed signs that he was struggling within himself. He dropped out of college to work in a sandpaper factory. At age 20, he started martial arts, earned his black belt, that's amazing, became a multi-time U.S. national champion, a Pan-American champion, started his own school, and get this, he wrote a best-selling book on parenting while he was single, not dating, and didn't even have kids yet. And it features a great money-back guarantee. Well, he finally got married at 38 and became a father, and I bet you he's using those strategies he was sharing with others. So he loves to light up others, to take the complex and cumbersome and make it simple, use the polysyllabic words, and help parents and kids find some more playfulness in their own lives. And who doesn't need that? So let me welcome Jeremy. Thanks so much for being here today.
Well, thank you. It is very nice to be here, Kirsten. You did an awesome intro. I want to meet that guy.
Totally. Everyone needs to meet that guy. And I'm the one who gets to bring him to others today. So that makes me super excited. So first, can you just answer me that question? Did you really stop smoking at 9?
Yes. Yes, I did. I got into some things at a very young age. A lot of people call it risky behavior. I call it adult behavior in pre-adult people. And I switched gears from being a little kid to being a teenager at about 6 years old. And wow. So that got me moving in different directions. I like to say I began my midlife crisis at 6. And my first wife, which is my current wife, which is my last wife, which is my only wife, all of the above. I started with the trophy wife. Just start there. Just marry the best and most amazing person you possibly can. Start there, and then the rest of it gets easier. That's why I waited till I was 38 to get married, because I took a while to get my head and heart in the right place. And so my older brother is 4 years older than me, so he was in 7th, 8th grade, somewhere in there, and he kind of started smoking, and so I was kind of copying him a little bit. And so from about 3rd to 4th grade, so about 8 to 9 years old, is when I was smoking. And this was back in the days when at the bowling alley, they had those machines that you could put quarters into, and you pull the knob. And, this was the 80s. Nobody would really pay attention to some kid on a bike buying some smokes, because it's like, oh, yeah, these are for my dad. They'd be like, all right, wouldn't be that big a deal, because we didn't have people quite so helicopter, bulldozer, lawnmower parents. We didn't have that so much back then. And so kids could get away with more stuff. So it was just something you really didn't notice. And after about a year of it, I was like, what am I doing? I don't like being controlled. Why am I like, I got to scrounge up the money. I got to ride my bike over to this place. I got to stress out about being caught. Like, it was all this stuff. I'm like, this is just stupid. And so I quit.
Wow. Well, that's amazing that you had all those breakthroughs at that age. I mean, amazing, unbelievable that you started that young, but I get it. You were following in the footsteps of a brother that you probably, he's maybe your idol or something, but wow, that you figured out that was controlling you. No, he wasn't your idol.
it was a thing for a little while, but from a very young age, I don't like being told what to do. I don't like being controlled. And so realizing I'm giving power over to this thing, it's like, this is stupid. And so I stopped.
Yeah. Well, kudos to you for figuring that out so young. Well, so let's move forward. And I want to, you know, out of all the incredible experiences that you've had in life already, what impact is it that you're motivated to make in this world?
The biggest impact really is about helping people play games that are worth winning. Because what I've discovered, when I grew up, my dad wanted to be a good dad. So he read a book that had just come out in the mid 70s called Games People Play. And it was partly psychology, partly neuro-linguistic programming. And it was really looking at kind of the behavioral manipulations that people do. And I was identifying them and laying them all out and stuff. The problem with that was it didn't really give any solutions. And my dad is a very, very strong extrovert, and I'm also a very big extrovert, but I learned at a young age to become an introvert. And so what that means is that my dad would kind of run roughshod over other people without meaning to. He would just state where he's at, interrupt other people, that kind of stuff. He still does it, but it's not from a bad place. It's just, you know, he's an engineer. He sees the situation, he sees the layout, here's the solution. Whether the other person's ready to receive that is a whole different conversation. And so as a kid, I would do something stupid, and then he would be like, "You shouldn't have done that." And I'd be like, "Yeah, you're right, but I blah 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 blah." And he'd say, "Okay, well then you should have done this." "Yeah, but blah 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 blah." And then he would say, "You're playing the yes but game. Come back and talk to me when you want to be serious." Now he may have been accurate that I was playing the yes but game. I didn't know exactly what that meant. But that labeling of the behavior cut off the relationship and cut off the communication. It got to the point by about 13, you think you know what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and what's going on with me. Fine, have that conversation with yourself. I'm done. And I really didn't talk to him for about 13 more years until I was about 26. And it was just, there was no room for me. And it wasn't that he did it on purpose. He just didn't know what else to do. So he was playing a game and it made sense to him. But it scored 0 points with me. In fact, it cost him points. And so I just shut down because I also didn't know how to play a better game with him. I didn't know how to elevate the way I was showing up because that sort of language wasn't really very well known. The internet didn't exist, those sorts of things. And so it really is this idea about human beings, no matter how old we are, there's a child part of us that is always playing a game to get energy. And so how can you create a game that you win and the other person in the equation also wins? We both get to win. It's a win-win. Because,
I love that.
well, look at history and look at society, look at politics, look at religion, look at economics, look at anything. Any dynamic between two or more human beings, if it's not win-win, it always collapses if you give it enough time. So how can we create win-win games? And it starts with ourselves. Then with our immediate, you know, our children, our spouse, you know, our next layer, and then we can build it out from that point. But if we're in this place of scarcity and I have to manipulate people to get energy because I don't know how to motivate them to give it to me, and I'm too scared to give it, well, then you're just always going to be living in manipulation, which is always an I win game. And I don't really care what happens to you. If we can play a win, it's we win, because then it's you win, I win, the world wins, society wins, the planet wins. That's a much better way to play the game. And the people who are able to generate those sorts of things in the long run tend to dominate situations, not through force of will, but just because things naturally flow to them, opportunities, all sorts of things. So it's how can we, you know, what I call the book is Your Best Child Ever, is this game worth winning? And it's just a matter of let's change the games that we're playing, change the behavior. That we're offering our children, the models that we're showing them, but then change their behavior and how they're relating to us. How can I help my children win? And when we do that, life gets easier because now they want to do things to help us have more positive energy to share back with them.
That is so great. Since I'm coaching in the adult world so often, I can't tell you the number of times that I've, and you're putting it in kind of different words, but I've said you're forgetting to bring others along on the journey to your conclusion. And some people get there faster. And if you're forgetting to share any of the steps that you took to get to, here's what we're going to do about this situation, they're kind of left behind. And you want to bring them along in the journey, right? Yeah, so everybody wins and everyone understands.
Well, in my martial arts school, we talk about different levels of leadership, but what is the ultimate aim of a true leader? It's to produce more leaders, not followers. So if I have a process and I just run my process on you and I get you your result and you have no idea exactly what happened or how or why, then you become dependent on me to come keep giving you the fix. I got to keep doing the thing. In the old Kung Fu culture, we call that protecting the rice bowl, right? As I'm not going to show you and tell you and teach you everything I know, because if I do, then you could do this for yourself. You don't need me. And so the old Kung Fu masters, this is back in the 1800s, 1900s, early 1900s, they would teach, but they would wear these long sleeve shirts that would cover their wrists. And then they would demonstrate stuff, and you really can't see what they're doing with their elbows and their wrists. So you really don't know what's happening.
Mm.
And only the very, very select students, the master would actually touch, because then they can feel what's happening, still can't see it. But only the indoor disciples, the master might roll up his sleeve past his wrist. But only the successor and the person he's actually going to teach the whole system to, he would wear something that is above the elbow. So you can actually see what he's doing with his arms and see the angles and positions. So there's these layerings of, you know, only the uber elite highest level people can get this one tiny little thing that shifts your whole entire world, which is great for them. But what if we could take 1% of that excellence and share it with all of humanity to elevate the entire species? Because if everyone's doing better, you have more people to go play with. There's more opportunity.
Oh my gosh, can you hurry up and do more work?
That's right.
So let me ask you.
We're doing coaching, trying to get the message out, because the world wins. Everybody wins, and it's possible. There's things you hate that other people love. Awesome. Pay them to do stuff you hate and go do the stuff you love. Game on.
Oh, yes. Total agreement with that. So describe quickly the services that you provide. How do you make these outcomes happen?
Well, I have a couple different things. Obviously, the base is the Your Best Child Ever, and I'm working on the sequel, which is This Game Worth Winning is the book. The sequel is going to be Is This Story Worth Telling? And those are the two sides. The game is the behavior, and the story is the justification.
Okay.
And when you harness the justification, now you have the key to mastery of your life and of your history is right there. So there's the books, and then there is, you know, I have YouTube stuff. But the best is just get a hold of me and set up a 30-minute consult. You know, what's going on? How can I help? Physically, mentally, emotionally, socially. And then I have a one-on-one coaching, and I have a group coaching.
Awesome.
And the next group coaching is actually just for dads. And it is, I'm looking for about 20 guys, 20 dads that want to up their parenting game. And these guys are, they're successful, but they're realizing they're not as present with their family and their children for their wife the way they want to be. And they know they could be, but they got this thing in their head that says, I got to work, I got to make money, I got to build a kingdom. Okay, let's address that. There are tools and there are ways to carve your time and adjust your strategies. Better intimacy with your wife, whether that means physical, mental, or emotional. Better connection and rapport and influence with your kids. And it's not a complicated thing. It's a 6-week course that we run through once a week, and we do some one-on-one coaching. And the other thing I do, which is a separate service, but is we remove anger, sadness, fear, hurt, and guilt from people's past. So if you're not making yourself wrong, how much more energy do you have to bring into your life now and for your future?
Awesome. And what I love about what you're doing is not only are you impacting the world by the work that you're doing with the individuals, but then they're parenting differently, and that's the next generation, which is amazing.
Well, that's how you fix things, right? You just raise kids with a different mindset, and they begin to see the parallels and connections, and then a lot of the stupid stuff just goes away because they're just like, this is dumb, this is silly, why are we doing this, let's just do it this way. Right. And then other ones go, yeah, that makes sense, let's just do that, everybody wins. All
right,
cool.
Right, awesome. I love it. So what's the biggest internal or external challenge you've had to overcome, and how did you overcome it?
Okay, well, that was a 30-year process. I was actually abused by a security guard in Saudi Arabia when I was about 5, and then again, here in the U.S. by a brother and a sister up the street. So it was an adult, it was kids, it was a security guard, and then I repressed all that stuff for about 20 years, and so. I was in a relationship that was completely unhealthy for me, and I moved into my feminine to please the lady that I was dating, to try and save the relationship, and there was a lot of just unhealthy stuff going on in there, a lot of people-pleasing and passive-aggressive stuff and a whole bunch. But the one thing it did do was it gave me a safe space to have the memories of the abuse begin to start coming back. And the way our unconscious works is – whenever we have something we don't know how to deal with, it will move it, shift it, change it, hide it from us. And then as we gain new skill, new abilities, new talents, new whatever, it will bring that stuff back and say, are you ready? And then if you freak out again, it says, okay, and it takes it back away again, and you forget about it. And so mid-20s, these memories began to come back, and I began to kind of reconstruct what happened, because I had been angry my whole life. I had been hiding and doing everything I could. I couldn't rely on anyone else to protect me. I had to protect myself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know why. It was just this thing inside of me, like I can't trust. My back is always to the wall. I'm always scanning the room. You know, for me, like tic-tac-toe is life and death. If I lose, I'm going to die somehow. And so it was just the level of intensity at 7 years old made me weird and made people back away from me. So I had this pattern of, you're going to reject me, so let me just make you reject me on my terms versus waiting for it to happen. Mm-hmm. So I had this huge chip on my shoulder, very intellectually dominant, just ridiculous. And you know, I look back on it now and go, really, guy? Like, it was so obvious he was in pain, but like people just didn't know how to get through to him. So
sure.
So I had those about 20 years of that. And once I began to realize what was going on, because I'd started martial arts when I was 20. And by about 26, 27, I had the physical, the mental, the emotional tools to really start digging into this and looking at what's happened. And then I went on a journey through Tony Robbins, and he has a series of workshops. Mm-hmm. And then I let my parents know about what happened, and they helped me to go to Life Wealth Mastery. And then ultimately Date with Destiny. And I would encourage anybody who has the wherewithal, you know, beg, borrow, steal, metaphorically, get yourself to Destiny. You can also read Awaken the Giant Within. It's 512 pages. That gives you the schematic of how to do some really deep change work in terms of your values and what matters to you, because you have values that you move towards and move away from, and you have rules. And almost all of this is unconscious, but you have ways of knowing kind of how you're being congruent or not. And when you start to like consciously write this stuff down and look at it, you go, holy crap, I'm wired messy. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for example, my rules for love and my rules for comfort were very, very similar. So that person who has those sorts of rules, would be very easy for them to confuse a comfortable friendship for a romantic relationship, because the rules were so closely mapped. Mm-hmm. And so this is a guy who's going to start tilting at windmills and read things into situations that aren't there, and just then emotionally overreact and all the stuff. So I began to see the patterns of my life going, oh, I see how I wired myself. But the cool part is you can then choose, well, what values would support the life you really want to live? And then you can anchor that stuff in. You know, people say it takes 21 days to make a habit. Well, that's kind of true. Think of it as 21 days of energy. What if you could get 21 days of energy in 5 minutes? You can hardwire your brain to new habits in an instant. Because all it takes is one new thought, and you build a new network in your brain. The dendrites connect, you get a new wiring. So then it's just amping energy into that to reinforce it. The thicker it gets, the stronger the cabling, the faster the brain fires. So you can rewire yourself on purpose. You're being hypnotized by marketers, by society all the time. Right. Just do it for yourself. And that's what Date with Destiny does. It's about $5,000 or $6,000 workshop, but it's 6 days and it's long days, and you're with like 3,000-4,000 other people, and you come out of it just totally focused and juiced and wired and reinforced to live and move after the things you want. So for me, it was a very powerful experience, something I definitely encourage people to have. It helped me go, like, what was my earliest memory? It was the abuse. Oh, what happened right before that? And I was able to recover the memories of before the abuse, which is even like more powerful, because now it's not my earliest memory. I have something even better. It's my earliest memory. So
awesome.
It was, and then it's a matter of, you know, the first year or so after I kind of worked through everything, I was like super just like, oh, you know, I wanted to bring my past out and talk about it with people and all that. I realized, okay, I'm overloading people because they're trying to make small talk and I'm like jumping in the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just sort of, I have two hands, a right one and a left one. Oh, I had some things happen in my past. It's kind of that level of energy now. There's no real negativity. Yeah. I see it. Who I am, I'm exactly who I needed when I was 6, and I shifted gears and nobody noticed. And I can teach parents, I can teach caregivers, coaches, I can teach people how to notice these things and then what to do with it. Because I've had kids that were like me and had the anger and the chip on the shoulder and the defensiveness. I had a 12-year-old who, the family was divorced. He's got a 6-year-old brother. hates the six-year-old brother, but don't anybody pick on him because he's right there to defend the six-year-old. And as I'm kind of working with the family in my martial arts school, I realized that for the 12-year-old, I'm not enough. You guys had the six-year-old. He wasn't enough either. You guys got divorced after him. So it's his fault that you got divorced, but it's my fault because I wasn't enough. Mm. So he's already been, for 6 years, he's been running this pattern of I'm not mm-hmm. enough. And so he's got this massive chip on his shoulder. And, you know, I got him to stop. He had his arms crossed, defensiveness. I got him to get on the training floor and do stuff. And his dad was like, you know, you're acting like a regular kid. And as soon as dad said that, he shut back down again. I was like, mm-hmm. Dad, why did you say that? You're dealing with a skittish cat. You can't put that much energy into a cat because they will bolt. They're not dogs. You have to treat them different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a metaphor I use in my book is cat training mode for young kids and teenagers. And dog training mode, there's a sweet spot from about 4 to 9 where kids really want to be part of the group and they want to please. And there's some really cool stuff you can do there. But once they shift a teenager, they still have that I want to be part of the group stuff. But it's different because cats only care about what influences them. They only care about mm-hmm. their priorities. It's usually food. And teenagers are pretty close to that.
Yeah. As a mom of teen boys, yes, I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah, you keep them fed, they'll love you. And they'll tell you anything. While they're eating, they'll tell you stuff.
Yeah. And their alliance to group changes, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
They're still aligned with the family, but then.
Right. Well, the family becomes a place. You are a landing zone. Come in, fuel, rest, recharge, and then back out because they're living their life now. And they're out in the world and they have
right.
the loyalty to their peer group is massive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that shift that a lot of parents struggle with between 10 and 12 when the kids start to, well, the peer group and, well, they don't care about me anymore. And I'm not, you know, she's not mommy's little girl or daddy's little mm-hmm. girl or mommy's boy. Or he's not my little special bud. He's like, he likes girls and he's like a jerk sometimes. And there's a crunchy towel that stands in the corner and I don't want to touch it. And,
right.
you know, there's these things that happen, shifts. And it's like, what happened? And so, right. you know, managing that, it's not difficult. I've done it like for 20 something years now with families. So, you know, I'm prepared for stuff with my kids, but it's just, here's the milestones. And sometimes we'll hit those early because I hit them at
mm-hmm.
6.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Great. So tell me, how do you stay motivated and moving during tough times? Because well, I know they still happen. You can't tell me.
Oh,
but.
God. I'm working one right now. My wife is launching a business, and she does coaching for entrepreneurial women to help them kind of align schedule and lifestyle and mindset and healthy habits, not so much diet exercise, although she can do that, and just getting traction with her target audience, which is entrepreneurial ladies. You know, they're upper mid five figure, lower 6. And it's like, it's just getting people's attention, getting on their radar, connecting with influencers. It's challenging. And to see my wife giving so much of her heart and so much of her soul to this project, and the traction is just, it's slow turning. And to see her just, it hurts because it's just, I know how hard she's working at it. And it's like, I could jump in that pit with her and I can feel bad with her. And now we're both miserable, right? It happened last mm-hmm. night, actually. Because she had some feedback from someone that just wasn't quite what she was anticipating. And so it was just, my heart aches for her because I know how hard she works. And she just has such a beautiful soul. And then one of her, she's a fan of Amy Landino, is a lady who did a lot of social marketing. She did Savvy Sexy Social on YouTube. She lives in Columbus, about an hour away from us. We were there for Amy's book launch when she was single. And her brother, unfortunately, passed away in a tragic situation. And so there was a 5-day planner that came out in Amy Landino pink. But, of course, Amy's not, you know, in that mindset because she's dealing with her grief. And so we sent her the planner as well as a note. And she read that last night on YouTube. And
mm-hmm.
that it's those moments you catch and you go, wait, somebody you look up to called you out on YouTube and said, thank you. And actually, as she read the note, she didn't read the whole quote because she got a little teary-eyed. But it was like, mm-hmm. that's who you really are. And you have to remind yourself of that because life will throw stuff at you. There's a really great quote I have actually from Mingxius, which is an ancient Chinese philosopher. And he's my Kung Fu teacher's ancestor. Let me give you this quote because it is so helpful. It says, heaven, when it is about to put a great responsibility on a person, always first tests their resolution, wears out their sinews and bones with toil, exposes their body to starvation, subjects them to extreme poverty, frustrates their efforts so as to stimulate the mind, toughen their nature, and make good their deficiencies. Only then do we realize anxiety and distress lead to life, and that ease and comfort lead to death. So when life gives me grief, it's like heaven's preparing me for something. I'm going through this winter because the spring is about to happen. We're going to have these amazing blooms. We're going to have this amazing experience. I know it's there. We got to stay the course because we're being tested. We're being challenged. We got planted in the dirt and we got to reach for the light. And that's one of the tools. The other one is, give me one second.
As you're saying that, I just want to say, obviously it's those times of challenge when we have the motivation for change, right? When we're comfortable, life is good. So we have to go through those tough times and those times of stress.
Absolutely. Well, the thing is, people are afraid of breakdowns. It's like, but the breakdown can be the beginning of a breakthrough. Right? For the caterpillar to become a butterfly, it has to give up the identity of caterpillar. And it actually, when it forms the pupa, the caterpillar actually melts into this genetic ball of goo. And then it gets restructured into a caterpillar. A butterfly. And who knows if it's not screaming the whole time going, what is this crap? This is so weird.
Right. Oh my gosh, where am I going? What's the outcome? Yeah, I also think too, as human, like in this world today, go, 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 move, 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 do, do, do. And how many times, and I'm sure you've experienced the same thing, like there are periods where you just need to be quiet when you're going through that metamorphosis, when maybe just sitting and being and refueling yourself and reevaluating or just sleeping. I mean, it doesn't necessarily look like action, but important things can be happening, and to give yourself the license to take that time.
Absolutely.
People are so uncomfortable with that.
Right. If you can learn to sit in silence and be your own best friend, if you can do those two things, life is your oyster, just because, if you like oysters. Yes. But just because you're untouchable, because you can connect to yourself in a deep place.
Right.
You now have a solid point from which to build everything else. Right. Yeah. And so here's the other thing. When I went through the Date with Destiny, I came up with two moving away rules. I used to have like a ton, and I made only two. And the two is, the only way for me to feel bad is, one, to have a consistent and illusionary feeling of heartbreak and loss, or number two is to have a consistent or illusionary feeling of frustration. And then I define those things. So what is this heartbreak or loss? Only if I were to consistently believe in a false illusion that love or anything else can be taken away from me, instead of remembering that unlimited, unconditional love is within my heart, accessible to me the moment I decide to notice it, or remembering life happens for me, and that any thought of loss is only a necessary step to something greater, or remembering that God's delays are not God's denials, and every experience, positive or negative, prepares me to truly appreciate and enjoy God's perfect timing and gifts in my life. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I have this value that says, oh, I don't want to feel this. I want to stay away from this. Well, what is it? And I defined it. But then I gave myself three exits. If I just remember this or this or this, see, a lot of people, their rules, and we cover rules as part of games, but they make all these rules for pleasure or positive. It's this and this and this and this, then I get to feel good. And then the rules for pain is this or this or this or this, I get to feel bad. So 37 things have to go right for me to feel good about myself, but any one of 53 things that go wrong, I am stupid and useless and worthless and dumb. That's how most of us are wired, because when we're kids, we have those kind of rules, right? It's, if I go to the store and I don't make any noise and I don't ask for any toys and I'm helpful and I push the cart and I don't make a mess in the car on the way home, then I get told I'm a good kid.
Oh, so my gosh, I'm feeling bad about my parenting right now. No.
But that's the thing, is our parents did the best they knew how with what they had. Right? And so the more we create, it's this or this or this, you get to feel good. You know, so my daughter last night, mom was on a coaching call, so we left. We went to the mall, and they have a big play place, and she wants a gumbo. And so about every, 15 minutes, she's asking me, can I get a gumbo? I was like, no, you're four. You can't eat gum yet because you're going to choke and die. You can't have that. But show me you can be a good listener. We'll get a gumball. We'll save it for later. And so, I kept tying it back to, if you show me this. And so, why don't you go play? So she played, she climbed. I mean, she did an amazing job. And I probably told her how proud I was of her and how she's doing such a great job listening about 25, maybe 30 times in an hour that we were at the mall. Went to a couple stores and she looked at stuff and put it back. And wow, that's really helpful. I like to put that back because now somebody else can see it and look at it and it'll be awesome. You're amazing. High five. And so I'm giving her all these different positive reinforcement, these different moments of catching her. I love how you're listening. I love how you made eye contact. I love how you said hello to that person. That was so nice. Babe. So I'm giving her lots of things to remind her you're doing a really good job.
Right.
Versus I could be on my phone and she comes over to me and it's like the fourth or fifth time she's asked for a gumball and I can like grab her by the hand. I can get down in her face and I can stare in the eyes and say, I told you we're not getting you a gumball because you will choke and you will die. So stop asking. And I can give her that kind of energy too.
Yep.
What kind of dad do I want to be? And what kind of memories do I want her to have?
Right?
Because I remember growing up with both examples. You know, I would push the envelope too far. So this is part of the game is figuring out, well, what are my rules? How do people score points with me? How can I give them points? How can I help them build rules that they feel good and I feel good?
Awesome.
So the more we give her energy – and the more we, you know, make it very clear when and why and where and how we're giving her, the more she's going to go to those behaviors to get that energy from us, because that's how wired. I need my energy. You know,
I'm
1,000. My brother was 1,000.
Right.
Sit and watch the grass grow and be fine. When I was 4, I climbed the tree in the backyard, got on the roof.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He was 8. He can't climb the tree because he's scared of heights. And I had to tell him how to get me. And my parents couldn't climb the tree because it was too small. And we were in Turkey. So getting a ladder would have been like an hour and a half process because this was Turkey, 1970s.
Yeah. Right. Well, you are sharing so much great, valuable information for people to chew on. I know. I'm sure people are taking lots of notes. So just quickly, in general, give me a couple words of wisdom that you have for others who are working to make their own impact in the world?
The first thing is you want to get clear on, you know, what it is that you want to do, and don't apologize for it. Don't be like, well, I'm sorry, or be nervous or scared. Just say it. I want to do this. For me, 9 years old, I want to be a Kung Fu master. I want to be enlightened. I want to be a father and I want to be a billionaire. And I've got two of those. I'm the Kung Fu master and I'm a father. Still working the billionaire, still working. I think I'm there and I'm like, no, I'm not. Right. So, but you've got to pick those goals, make them big. But then the next question is why do I want these? Why is it so meaningful for me? And the clearer you can get on the why, and then go read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, because that gets deeper into the why. Mm-hmm. But then, okay, this is going to give you the fuel to pull you towards that greater vision. And then take 5 minutes every day to remind yourself, because if you don't, the world will distract you. The world will pull you into its game, and the world doesn't care whether you win or not. The world just, it gives everyone equal opportunity and says, shine, do your best. So then it's a question of, you know, are you selling? Are you being sold? Are you being sold the illusion of the world? Or are you being sold the dream in your heart? So it's just reminding yourself of that dream. Take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, record a video, play it back for yourself, you know, listen to it when you wake up, when you go to bed. Just remind yourself of those things, because this is who you really are. Whatever else is going on out there, it always changes. You can't control that. You can influence. Mm-hmm. You can harmonize. Mm-hmm. You can control what's happening inside, but it takes discipline. It's the weirdest thing, but if you have discipline, you will achieve freedom. And if you don't have freedom, if you don't have discipline, you will always be a slave.
Correct. Yes. Because other things outside you are controlling your desire to try to achieve that, right?
Right. Or even your own, my body's tired. I didn't get any sleep last night. It's like, yeah, but does this matter to you? Is this important enough? You want to create a better world for children. Does this really matter? Get off your butt and let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Motivation comes and goes. It's like bathing. You got to wash.
Right. And sometimes you have to ignite it, right?
Absolutely. Awesome. Sometimes you need to have friends that help ignite it for you. They remind you of your best self. They're a mirror to reflect. So get a peer group. That'd be the third thing is get a peer group. Get a couple people that you can just network with. Create a Facebook group, private, secret, just for the three of you. Encourage each other. Share your successes. Share your challenges. That way you've got a thing to go back and look at and go, like Autumn and I yesterday, we started a Facebook group just for the two of us, and we record a video at the end of every day. What was your magic moment today? What was your magic moment? What was it?
Awesome. I love
And then
that.
we post that out because then we can see it throughout the year. And we did it at the dinner table, and we had Evie, and she had a friend from school come over and do a play date who lives up the street. And it was like, oh my gosh. Like, my magic moment was watching my daughter playing with a kid from up the street. She's four, and they're like riding bikes outside, and they're playing in the house and playing My Little Pony.
I love that. And I love, I used to do gratitude talks with my kids when they were little every night. Same kind of feel, just like, ending the day on a positive note. And I think too often we forget to celebrate. Again, we're so focused on those milestones that we're trying to hit, those goals. And
Right.
along the way, we're making some really cool things happen or experiencing some really cool things. And we just forget to notice.
Absolutely. And it's reminding yourself, life is amazing. And I did 87 things right today. Yeah, I got to grow. So we look at what are my pros and grows? Where can I grow?
Yes. Awesome.
Right. So in my martial arts school, we don't correct anybody. We make adjustments. And really, we don't even make adjustments. We offer adjustments because you're in control of your life and your consequences.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, oh my gosh, I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you spending time with me today and providing all of this great, valuable nuggets of wisdom and, again, just things for people to think about and hopefully implement as soon as they listen to this podcast. So I encourage everyone to check out Jeremy's website, theparentingprogram.com. You can find a lot of information there. You can get in touch with him, learn more about his programs. And I just thank you, Jeremy, so much.
Yeah. And if they mention your podcast, we can set up a 30-minute consult for free.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's awesome. Okay. Did you guys hear that? So Live and Lead for Impact, you'll head to my podcast website, defeatthedrama.com, and then click on the podcast tab and find the show notes for today. And I will actually have a link directly to that location where you can mention my website and get 30 minutes free with Jeremy. That sounds awesome. Great. Thank you so much, Jeremy.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. The idea is light the world up, right? We can only change the world one family at a time.
Absolutely. And I just want everyone to live and lead a life that is built towards impact because we need that in this world today. So thank you.
Thank you.